The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, hope you're having a good time today and that listening will be enjoyable. We have nobody waiting right now. If you want to call, it's easy, 877-207-2276. And I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Clear my throat there. And also, you can send an email in as well. To do that, all you have to do is send an email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org. Put in the subject line radio comment, radio question, either one, and we can get to them. All right. Now, as you guys know, I've said, so maybe you know, if you're new, you wouldn't know this, but I go online in the evenings a lot of times, and I go witness. I always look for people and opportunities to witness. And I have an Oculus, and I go into virtual rooms looking for people and opportunities to share the faith. I go into TikTok and look for opportunities. I go into something called Pal Talk. I used to do that a lot, but not so much anymore. And other ones. And I went in last night to a place called Discord, went into a server where we discussing the issue of salvation. I was there for 6.5 hours. 6.5 hours. And battling. The issue of justification by faith alone, not by faith in what you do. Just that simple. That's the gospel. And Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Mormons are in there denying the true gospel. And so, get this. Simple logic. It's either the case that you're justified by faith alone without works, or it's not the case you're justified by faith alone without works. And so if it's the case that you're not justified by faith alone, then it has to be by faith alone. Oh, excuse me, faith and your works. This is logical. It's fair for me to ask at that point, okay, what works? Which works are you saying that you have to be justified by? So this conversation happened last night. There's a particular Mormon guy who likes to use Greek. He's pretty good at Greek. And he likes to try and make me look as bad as possible by asking me sophisticated Greek questions, which I don't know. And we go into text, and talk about twisting scripture. So, for example, if it says Romans 4:5, the one who does not work but believes, I ask, is Paul negating works? No, he's not. So when it says not work, that means really does include works. And you know, we had these conversations. And so, get this. So last night I'm asking this question. Now, what do you think of this? You can give me some feedback if you want. So I asked, okay, so you're not justified before God by faith alone in Christ alone, by the faith that he grants you, which is good and true faith. And that you have to add to that faith your good works. Okay, I said, so what are the good works you have to do? So his response, I mean, I'm still chuckling. His response was that by me asking the question, I was a hireling who's ungodly and wicked. So that's right, okay? So when he says that you have to do works to be saved, I say, well, what's the list of works you got to do? Because if you have works, well, what list? What are these works you got to do? And he says, well, the proper imposition of your heart. The proper imposition. So it's about how good your heart is. So that's what it is, and that provides works, that leads to works. And he wouldn't list out any works. Well, that's because he knows if he lists out works, are you doing them? And then I asked this at Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, are you doing those works? Like today, I was on for an hour, the same place, and the guy goes, yeah, I'm doing them. Are you doing them on the same level as Jesus? Well, I don't have to. I can try. We actually got in this conversation last night about trying and accomplishing. I said, are you trying? And he says, he's trying. I said, well, then you're not doing it if you're trying. And I can't even repeat the bad logic. Just the horrible thinking. And I said at one point, I said, so when you accomplish something, we talked about building a table. I said, if you accomplish building a table, are you still trying to build a table? He says, I'm trying to build other tables. I didn't say that. If you accomplish the work of building a table, are you still trying to build that table? He wouldn't answer the question. Because if you're accomplishing something, it's accomplished, it's done, you're not trying. If you're trying to do something, you haven't finished it. You're still trying. Well, this guy, in order to save face, just continued to talk the most nonsensical stuff. I'm going to get into what he said about the hireling thing. The most nonsensical, inane persiflage. And what really was interesting is how many people in the room were agreeing with them. Of course, they're Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox. The paganism of adding your works to what Jesus did to be saved. And I kept telling people, you cannot add your works to the blood of Christ. You can't. That's what you're saying. That the faith that God grants is not enough to justify us. That you've got to do stuff. You have to manifest it. You have to express your faith. Because if you don't express it, then you can't be saved. Where does it say that in the Bible? If you don't express your faith, you can't be saved. You have to express it to be saved. Well, James 2, and he would say, James 2 says, a man is justified by faith, not justified by faith alone, but by works. He kept quoting that. let's look at it, right? James 2. And it says there, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And I said, well, yeah, in the context is before people, because in verse 18, it says, you show me your faith by your works, I'll show you mine by my works. I'll show you that. Then he says, you see that a man, he's talking to people. You see this? That's what he's talking about. And this conversation went on and on and on and on. And the inane, just logical stupidity that was prevalent is just amazing. And I'm going to say this, the brilliance of twisting is pretty good. Now, I'm going to give you an example of something. So I'm talking to this guy. And I said, I want a list of the works you got to do. Because if you say justified by works, not by faith alone, what's the works you got to do? It's a fair question. If you say you're justified by works and not by faith alone in what Christ has done alone, then you got to do something. So what do you have to do? And that's when he gave me these, this idea of intention and the sincerity and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, what are these works? And then he said, this is really good. He goes, Matt, by you asking the question, you're demonstrating you're a hireling. Now, in the King James, in John 16, this is what the hireling is. I'm going to get into this. Okay. This is the kind of stuff I have to deal with on a regular basis. And let's see, John 16. Come on. I put it in the right thing there. Hold on a sec. John 16. There we go. Let's see. H-I-E-R. Hireling. Where's the word hireling in there? And so we were looking at yesterday. The hireling is someone who's hired for a wage who abandons the sheep. All right, abandons the sheep, and that I was the one who was being a hireling by asking him, get this is real, by asking him to give me the list of the works he's got to do to be saved. And he says, by me saying that, I'm a hireling. Now we go to John 10, 12, in the King James, and it says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep they are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. That's the hireling. Okay. So I thought it was fascinating. I said, so wait a minute. So I'm a hireling for asking you to give me what you said is necessary. I'm asking you to demonstrate to me the works that you're supposed to do because you say you get to do works. Now, here's the logical problem. If you say you got to do works, well, what works you got to do? Because if you miss some of them, you can't be saved then because there's some works you got to do. You got to give me an exhaustive list. Because if you don't know what an exhaustive list is, you're in trouble. Now, of course, the logic is very obvious, and that's why I said, well, the intention, the intentionality. You're trying to do these things. That's what matters. Well, then it still works, isn't it? Because your intentionality brings you to the works. What works are you talking about? Honoring God? Loving your neighbor? What are these works you got to do? Matt, you're a hireling for wanting that. And I said, So where does it say, this is, oh, it got good. Where does it say that I'm a hireling if I ask you to demonstrate what you said is necessary? How am I suddenly the evil one who's a hireling who abandons the sheep by asking you to do this? And he says, a hireling wants a list. I said, really? A list? A hireling wants a list? I said, where does it say a hireling wants a list of things? That's what a hireling wants, a list. And he went to, of all places, Romans 4:4. That the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. So I'm a hireling because of Romans 4:4. The one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. And I said, but that's, where does it say hireling there? The word hireling is a different word, mathestos or something like that. And it's not this word here, the one who works is ergorazomeno. And so misthetos is hireling and misthos is wage, or what you earn. And he said, well, if you work for your wage, that's what a hireling does. So therefore, you're a hireling because you're trying to work. I'm like, what? I'm not the one working. You are. You're the one working for your position before God. So how am I the hireling? This is actually the conversation. That I was the hireling because I wanted him to verify the list of things he's got to do to keep himself saved. Yet his works are the exact same things you do. According to Romans 4:4, the one who works, his wages not credited as a favor, but is due. That means you get salvation by your faith and your works. That's what's due to you. That's what Paul's point is. So what this really was fascinating to me, because in a room full of wolves, where I was just going around getting attacked from left and right, I mean attacked, called Satan, egotistical, stupid, rude, and a hireling who's evil. Because I said to the guy, well, you're the one who said you got to do works to be saved. What works you got to do? I was actually very much interested in this conversation, not so much in the linguistics and the logic, but the experience of the demonic activity that was going on. The demonic activity. I ask him, what are the works you got to do? And I'm the one who's evil for asking the question. I'm asking him to verify what his position is, but I'm evil for doing that. And then Romans 4:4, the one who works, his wage, he's the hireling. And that makes me guilty for wanting him to provide the information that he's saying is necessary for salvation, his faith and his works. And I'm the one who's evil. And what's fascinating is two things. So many people in the room agreed with him. Agreed with him. And I was the evil one. And what happened very frequently is I would be interrupted, spoken over repeatedly. And then I would do it back, but not nearly as much, and say, look, stop interrupting me. Let me answer your question. And we'd go on and ask a question. He'd just go on and on and on. And the hypocrisy that was so prevalent in those who would only see one thing, to me it was obvious. The demonic doctrine was winning among so many people, and they were not believing the faith, not believing the truth. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, it's easy, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Andre, from North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Doing all right. What do you got?
All right. Yes, sir. Question. You and I would discuss the country, the Israel, that it was Asiatic. We came to that conclusion. The Jews over there, they're fucking United Jews, correct?
I don't know.
Sir?
So what's your question then? I mean, I don't know exactly their heritage.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not done a genetic study or tracing of lines through history and things like that.
Yes, sir. So what I suggest is you might need to do a little research, because the ones over there are faking it to make it. They're pretending. In other words, if Israel's Asianic and the Jews over there now they're called Ashkenazi Jews, how can they be the true people? That's my question.
Yeah, that's not in my purview to know the genetics and the history and things like that. So why do you hate the Jews?
Sir?
Why do you hate the Jews over there? You deny them, right? Right?
Well, those are not the true people. I'm denying the false people. That's what I'm denying.
Okay.
It's really you, Hadin. Okay.
And are you the what's true?
Sir?
Are you true? Are you true Jew?
I am true.
Okay.
I'm
you're
a true
Jew,
Hadin, not Jew.
Okay. You, so you're a true Jew. No. Okay. What house of Israel are you from?
Tribe of Judah in America.
Judah in America. So the transatlantic slave trade means that you're from the house of Judah? Okay. So
yes,
can you trace out for me? I'd like you to do some homework for me. I'd really appreciate it. Find me documentation, from archaeology, geneticists, whatever, that the Jews of Israel in ancient time were somehow propagated into Africa and then became the victims of slavery. Okay, if you can show me that, I'd like to see that. If you can't do that, then you're just blowing smoke. So are you gonna do it?
Oh, yes, sir. I'll do that research for you, and I'll let you know that I can I can give you an in-depth study where all of them were scattered to. I can give you an in-depth study on where Zebulun went, Dan went. They went throughout the whole world. In case you didn't know, they were exiled through the whole world.
Yeah, I just want that documentation, all right? Documentation, be good. Okay?
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Okay. It doesn't exist. All right, Martin from Virginia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Thank you again for your ministry. I hope you're doing well.
Doing all right. By God's grace,
Yeah, nice. So I was going to say, hey, welcome, hired hand, or hi, hired hand, Mr. Slick, but... it's kind of funny that
it was so bad.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, they see a lot of things. I know. I get. I kind of listen to you talk about how people talk about you. I see that. I mean, you're humble enough. You admit that you have arrogance and you have some.
Sure.
You know, you've got some stuff that everybody carries some baggage.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So for the BLI, so as far as the Jewish heritage. There's some very many great studies that show the DNA lineage of some of the Jewish lines, and it goes back to exactly the Middle East in that part of the country. And I know that I think he asked, hey, they were from Mesopotamia, but if you look at the continents, well, no, it's not really Mesopotamia; it's Asia.
Okay,
you have Asia, several Asia Minor, major stuff that. Their thought track is so much to a kind of a racial type discriminatory view of God and religion. It's just kind of unfortunate that they get so much Kool-Aid that they drink that they just believe it. And they just have to believe it. Otherwise, they just don't know what to do.
Yeah, you mean the Hebrew Israelite people? Yeah.
Yes, previous caller.
Yeah, it's a racist, unbiblical, theological perspective, full of faulty information and improper inferences. It's really bad. Yeah. It's bad.
Now, so one quick question: what is your take on? And forgive me, because I'm driving, but I don't know the exact scripture. I don't know if it was the scribes or Pharisees someone came to Jesus and they said, and Jesus responded, hey, there'll be many that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we know you. And he responded that, well, did you feed the poor? Did you care for the widow? Did you visit imprisoned?
Okay, Matthew 25. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. What is your take on that?
Well, they will generally use the Matthew 25. When you did not do this, you didn't do the least to me. Because you did these things, you get to go to heaven. And so what they want to say is that salvation there is based on your works. And so they have the sheep and they have the goats. And it says, I'll say, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. So they're saying that salvation is earned by your works. And that's the proof. And I say, okay, so let me ask you, is there any mention of the atonement in Matthew 25?
And right.
There's but none.
How did you come to salvation? You came to salvation through belief.
Yes, but I do, that's what I do with this passage. I ask them the question, is the atonement mentioned? And the answer is no. And so then is Jesus teaching that salvation is by your works with no atoning sacrifice? And the answer, of course, is no. So I say, then what's he really teaching? Is he teaching that you get to heaven by doing good? Because if that's the case, then he's contradicting himself in other places, as well as Paul the Apostle is contradicting. So I ask him these questions.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, if you flip the script and you say, well, what do you do? Well, the part of it is, what don't you do?
That's what that means. What don't you do?
There was ample quotes in Scripture that where Jesus does actually say, go and sin no more, correct?
Yes.
And by that, it means you will live a more righteous life, not a sinful life.
Yes, but it's not living a righteous life that gets you saved.
You're right, but living an unrighteous life would probably not be good, correct?
It's not good, that's correct. But that's not what justifies you or makes you lost. It's faith in Christ that justifies you. And then you live a good life because you're saved. That's it.
Right, yeah, but I'm just flipping that coin to say part of that argument is, well, there's some stuff that you don't do as Jesus commands.
So then is the not doing it what gets you saved?
No. No, okay. It's just a commandment of Jesus, right? The lady...
So hold on, we've got a break, okay? Well, hold on, we've got a break. So we'll be back. Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. This is one of the types of conversations we have. Let's see how it goes. It should be interesting if you want to give me a call. We have open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Bottom of the hour already. Wow, this is flying by. Let's get back on with Martin from Virginia. Are you still there?
Yes, Matt, still here.
Okay. Can I ask you what church you go to? I'm just curious.
St. Michael's Archangel.
Catholic, right?
Correct.
So, do you affirm, I'm just curious, do you affirm that you have to do good works in order to be saved?
No, I mean, that's not what the Catholic faith teaches, actually. If you look at the canon, we know that there's many, many scriptural examples where people that have not had works to prove their salvation were saved. And grace of God is above all things. You know, it's through God alone and the grace of God.
Right.
On the cross is one good example. And the one lady that we were talking about, and I was hoping you were going to pick up on it, and I'm going to correlate the lady at the well and the... I don't want to say that she was a prostitute, because I don't know if they've proven... I know she was accused by the Jews that she was a prostitute. Jesus wrote on the ground and people disappeared. But what were Jesus' last few words to her?
Go and sin no more, y'all.
Right. And so, but do you think she was saved?
Yes.
Because why?
Because Christ cleansed her, forgave her.
He cleansed her how?
He forgave her, says your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more.
How?
Yeah, he says your sins are forgiven.
Right,
yeah.
Go and sin no more, right?
Yeah.
And then the lady at the well, I think that was one of the longer conversations that was probably recorded. I forget which gospel recorded that lengthy one. Do you think she was saved?
I don't know. I have to look at that and see, but not sure. Okay.
Right. I mean, well, he didn't direct her to sin no more, but he did call out her indiscretions, right? I mean, he told her.
Yes, five husbands represented five failings of chronological time with the Jews in previous times, but yeah.
Yeah, I think her actions seemed like she was very amazed, right? I mean, she was.
Okay. So, are works at all necessary for salvation in Catholicism?
No, they're actually not, but they're a product of those that actually have the faith that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
I'll ask a simple question. So, the Lord Himself affirms that baptism is necessary for salvation. Paragraph 1257. Is that correct? It's necessary for salvation to be baptized.
Paragraph 1257.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's not church canon. The dogma is what we will follow.
Let me ask you, is it true or not true? Is it true or not true that baptism is necessary for salvation, according to the Roman Catholic Church?
Because you can't be saved even without...
So you disagree with what the Catechism says?
Absolutely, yes. Many do, because that's not the dogma. That's not canon.
So how about this one?
And many please
how about
back
this
that
one?
Up.
How about this one? Paragraph 846, basing itself on scripture and tradition, the council teaches that the church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. Is the Catholic Church wrong there also?
Well, no, the Catholic Church is not wrong. The church is. It's very helpful. It's not necessary. It's not the final thing.
Well, it says
it's
necessary.
God's grace.
It says... The word is necessary.
It's a necessary aspect, but you can be saved without the church.
Okay, so it says necessary, so it's not necessary.
It does. Well, it does. I mean, there's things that you're going to quote, obviously, that you don't have the updates on, like Mary, what's the goddess? Mary goddess? I mean, the things that you say
goddess,
about Mary.
Yeah.
It's like,
she's a functioning goddess.
Yeah,
but let me ask you about the salvation. I'm curious.
But the monastery has, they clarified that. They said, no, Mary's not a goddess.
I never said she was. I never said that the Catholic Church says she was.
Well, you admitted to what I said.
Look, one of the rooms I go in, sometimes what they'll do is they'll all jump on me all at once. 3, 4, 5 guys at once are all yelling and screaming at once. And I say, guys, stop behaving like a pack of dogs. They just go in and
I heard you say that.
Okay, and so they'll call. Can you hold on, please? And then and they say, I'm calling them dogs. I says, no, I'm not. I'm saying your behavior is like that, not calling you that. And they can't think critically. And they say, no, you're calling us dogs. No, I'm not. So if I say that the Catholic Church treats her as a goddess, it's not saying she's a goddess, right?
Well, that's correct. It's not saying that she is a goddess.
Yeah, and the Catholic Church does not say she's a goddess, and I don't say the Catholic Church says that. Okay?
Boy, man, I wish I would have had a recording, because it sounded like, because you were chuckling along about, I don't know, 18 months ago, about, the Catholics treating her as a goddess. And I can't disagree, partly because I've been to Mexico City. I've seen the people walking on their knees with the devotional to Mary and the rosary and doing all that, wow. Yeah, I mean, they have obviously, you're in Idaho, you have that Spanish culture. You know that some people have some shrines in their house, right?
Yeah, I know about this. I'm familiar with it. But when I say they treat her as a goddess, they're attributing characteristics to her that belong to God alone, and they're committing idolatry in the process. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe some people are. And most aren't, though. Most understand praying the rosary is not that path.
Okay. So, can Mary hear millions of unspoken prayers all at once and comprehend them?
I guess I'm going to ask her when I get there.
Why?
Do you know? Do you know?
I get a kick out of that answer. So, do you believe she can or can't? Or you just don't know?
Well, I don't think either of us know, right? I don't think you know either.
Look, I'm just asking you a question. Do you believe she can or can't?
We both don't. We both don't know.
Okay, I'm asking you, do you believe she, I said, you believe she can, you believe she can't, or you just don't know? Which is it?
You're trying hard, but you don't know and I don't know, so I can't give you the affirmative or negative. Right?
So your answer is you don't know. Okay, you don't know she can.
And nor
which
you, may,
which nor means you. This is logic. I try and do this with the people in the chat room, just like this. Just you and I have an exact kind of the same conversation. I'll say, if you don't know, it means yes, in the sense it's a possibility, because you don't know if it's possible or not possible. Therefore, possibility is one of the requirements that gives you an agnosticism about it. You know she can, you know she can't, which means maybe she can. That's
yeah,
logically necessary.
Can, right?
Yeah, so,
well, that's exactly, I agree. Yeah.
So this would mean then, if it's possible, you don't know if it is or isn't, but logically you're saying it might be, maybe, you just don't know if it is, then that would, wouldn't that mean then if it was just the thoughts in her mind, then doesn't it mean she has to have access to the mind, if that's possible, right?
A spiritual body having access to the physical mind?
Well, I don't know. If Mary can hear, as the Catholic Church teaches, she can hear your prayers. Okay.
Yeah, well, you're right. We pray for intercession. You know, we ask for to intercede for us.
So in respect to the issue of her hearing prayers, the ones not spoken, just thought, how does she hear them?
The people that are deaf, blind, mute, I mean, how do they pray too? I mean, they have.
Okay, we're not talking about deaf, blind, mute people. We're talking about Mary, specifically Mary.
Yeah.
This is the same problem that I have in chat rooms. We go through the same kind of issues where I have to ask the same thing over and over again because I know how to ask the difficult questions. Okay.
Right. You're asking about Mary hearing.
Yeah.
And are you talking about a physical hearing, the ear, the mechanism? Because Mary's a spiritual body, right?
Okay, I didn't ask that. I said, how is it possible for Mary to hear unspoken prayers? In other words, speculate on what you think would be necessary for her to be able to do that. For example, does she have to have access to their minds to do that? To hear them.
I wouldn't think she has to have access to their minds. I mean, someone has a spiritual inclination, a spiritual drive, spiritual desire.
To hear the prayers means she's hearing them, whatever sense the hearing is at that point. But if they're just spoken and she's hearing them, she has to hear their thoughts. How does she hear millions of thoughts all at once?
Yeah, that's correct. It's like if, like your previous caller yesterday, how did he hear that his wife was in trouble in the bathroom when he didn't hear?
Okay, we're not talking about that guy. We're talking about Mary. This happens all the time. I'll focus on a point
and then people go someplace else. Not physical. She doesn't have an eardrum, right? Correct? Do you agree with that?
I don't know if she does or does not. I don't know how it works right now with the Catholic doctrine of Mary is, because she was assumed into heaven bodily.
Correct.
According to Catholicism.
Correct.
So that means she has an eardrum. So is she... Okay, hold on, we got to make a letter. Okay, hold on, man, okay? Hey, folks, we're right back after the break talking to Martin. He's a nice Catholic, but this is a great example of what I have to go through on a regular basis with people. It's a good example. Anyway, may the Lord bless you. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, and welcome back to the show. Hope you're enjoying the conversation. Let's get back on with Martin from Virginia. Are you still there?
I am still here, sir.
All right, thank you. So, anyway, back to the issue of Mary. In May 20 of 2003, Pope John Paul II said, "May the Blessed Virgin hear your every prayer." So, can she hear the prayers that are unspoken, that are thought?
So just the prayers in your heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we covered that ground. So I don't know. Okay. And the leaders both know the possibility of that.
Okay. Well, here's a verse I want to get to you. 1 Kings 8:39. Now, you just said, Mary, can know the heart and hear the heart, the intention in your heart. This is 1 Kings 8:39. Then he, talking about God, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. So if God alone is the one who knows the hearts, how can Mary also know the hearts?
Is that in reference to God forming us before we were born in the womb and knowing what?
No, it's not.
The predestination.
No, it's about famine in the land of Ireland. Ireland? How did I get the word Ireland? Man, I must have looked away and saw a word combo. Even when you glance, that's weird. It reminds me of what I used to do with my kids when I read them Bible stuff. I would say, you know, and Mary walked over to McDonald's, and they go, Dad. Anyway, is there a famine in the land? If there's a pestilence, if there's a blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, the enemy besieges, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, supplications made by any man or all your people of Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart, spreading his hands toward the house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart you know, you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. Okay? So,
and that's in reference to God, correct?
Yeah, that God alone is one who knows the hearts of all the people. So now you're saying Mary knows the hearts of the people.
Well, no, I'm not saying Mary knows the hearts of all people. I know that she was a vessel to bring Christ our Lord Jesus Savior. She was chosen for that purpose.
So then she can hear them. So how is it she hears them? Since she's assumed into heaven bodily, and you ask if she has an eardrum, logically the answer would be yes. So either she hears with eardrums, or she's hearing by thoughts in her own mind and heart. I don't know, there'll be a third option.
So, yeah, well, I mean, again, we covered that. I don't think either of us both know, because neither of us have the metaphysical knowledge of what the afterlife is showing us.
Yes, but I grant that that's correct. But what I can do is use logic and say it's either the case that she hears it physically or it's not the case physically. It's either the case she hears it spiritually or not spiritually. You can just talk like that. And if one is, you look at one and you find out if it makes any sense. So if she's hearing the prayers, there must be a mechanism and a means by which she's hearing them. She's doing the hearing. So that means it seems to be the case that if she's hearing millions of prayers simultaneously, spoken thought, but the thought ones, she has to have access to their mind somehow. Because otherwise, it's God who's transferring all the prayers to her, and then he's communicating all the prayers to her so she can hear them.
Well, first thing, everything's through God, right? I mean, there's nothing that we can do without God, right? Yeah. And God is the purpose, the driver, the creator of everything. And to say that she's hearing things through a mechanism, you're right, from a physical aspect. We know about the eardrum, we know about the physical ears, but we don't know about the metaphysical aspect of a spiritual body in heaven.
Okay.
And you said that, yeah, maybe she does have an eardrum, and it could be that there's also another mechanism for a spiritual body.
Okay. So here's
we can't be ascended into heaven right now. I mean, obviously, we're physical, but purely physical. We don't have a glorified body like Christ.
That's correct. Let me ask you, would you agree that a human being, human physical being, could only be in one place at a time?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, physically, yes.
That's right. A physical body can only be in one place at a time. So, Jesus was physical. His physical body can only be one place at a time. That's by definition. So, we would say that the properties of what you are proceed from the essence of what you are. So, Is it the case that a human being can comprehend a million conversations all at once?
A human being? No. And I'm hoping this is going better than your dog pouncing rooms that you get in sometimes during the week. Because I feel for you, Matt, when you've got four different religions jumping on, you know, up and down your backside. But no, I agree with you. Physically, you and I have a problem with two conversations.
Yeah, me too. Have you been in those rooms where I get attacked repeatedly?
I have not. Discord like that. I've often wanted to jump in there to see just how ferocious and I've been online stuff. It's not fun. It's not, because you get people to pile on. I get it.
Yeah. It's horrible. I've been called Satan. I've been told I'm a hireling recently, last night. I've been told I'm demonic, that I'm on my way to hell, for saying, guys, you've got to believe that Jesus alone is enough for salvation.
I was on one of the longest-running debates on debate.org. I was on one of the longest-running debates that was going on between me, and it was started with two atheists about evolution. And all of a sudden, there's six more that just were just jumping in there, and after about 18 months or so, about...
Yeah, you have to give up.
It was just exhausting, Matt, and there's just no turning. I mean, you put all kinds of evolutionary facts to them, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, I trust me. I know. I've debated atheists, too. But here's the thing I'm trying to get you to understand, is that you inadvertently are giving to her qualities that don't belong to her. The ability, for example, to understand a million conversations simultaneously in the mind and comprehend them. This is not human. Humans don't do that. We don't do
that. You're right. She's not fully human, right? She's kind of passed from our physical realm. She's not with us here on Earth right now, right?
No, she's human. See, my wife passed away 4 months ago. She's in heaven with the Lord. She's still human. Her body's not resurrected, but she's human.
But while she was here, Matt, while she was here with us, she couldn't glow white as snow, right? Her face could not glow white as snow.
Oh, she did all the time. She was so beautiful. She was always glowing beautiful.
I get that. But like the transfiguration, right? So Jesus could transfigure himself, and there were two other heavenly bodies there. Right.
Yes, but I'm trying to get you to understand something, and I'm glad you appreciate how I had to compliment my wife even when she's not here. But the thing is that if Mary's mind can now comprehend a million prayers at once, her mind has to be changed by God, which means her nature is changed, which means it's no longer Mary.
You're right, but don't you think part of our nature, is it possible that part of our nature changes when we go to the other side?
No, it can't happen. Because I understand what you're trying to get at, but I don't think you understand the linguistics of what we're talking about.
So we could still die once we die here on Earth. We could die when we get to heaven.
No. It's a different thing. We're not talking the same wavelength here. Nature is what we are. The nature can't change, because if the nature changes, we no longer are what we are. So if you have a table, a table can't become a chair and it still have the nature of table.
Okay. The chairness, the nature of the tableness, but you had just said that the mind, and she has a mind, but she doesn't have the same physical blood pulsing, decaying mind that she had on Earth.
My wife or Mary?
Yeah, that's what we're still talking about.
Mary?
Because obviously we're not going to die when we go to heaven, right? We're not going to decay. We're not going to get old. We're not going to,
While we're in heaven, that's right? Correct. But what we're talking about here is the issue here of Mary hearing millions of prayers that are thought, and she can comprehend them all at the same time. That is attributing to her a characteristic of being godlike.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're actually, that's superhuman, right? That's something humans just can't do.
Exactly. They can't do. So if she's doing it, then she's not human, because humans can't do it.
But she's not. She's in heaven. She's not getting cancer in heaven, right? But
she's a human.
She's not like you and I who can't do that.
She's a human in heaven. She's a human.
But not like she was here on Earth, right?
No, her nature is still human.
When you're in heaven. But not like it was possible.
No, it is.
Yeah, you're on heaven.
No. Human nature can't change. Otherwise, it's no longer human.
No, you're right. There's aspects of human nature. There's things like your size, the color of your eyes.
They
don't make you human, but they're aspects of Matt Flick, right? They're still aspects of you. And you can strip away parts of that. But you're still human.
We're talking about the difference between what's called essential and accidental properties. Essential properties are that what make you what you are, that can't change. Accidental properties, how big or tall or whatever, those can change. You're still a human. It has no bearing on your human nature. If Mary's in heaven, she has to still be a human. Not physically isn't the issue, but the essence of what she is. If the essence of what she is has now changed, that she can hear millions of prayers that are unspoken, then her nature has changed, because people can't do that. People can't do that. And if she can, that means her nature's changed because it's an essential property of her nature. That's the point. This is why you guys are turning her into a functioning goddess.
No, she's not a functioning goddess. I mean, yeah, obviously some people probably do believe that, unfortunately, on the Catholic side. I've seen that. I do see that. And I try to correct that often, especially with family members. But the point is, there's physical aspects, human aspects, even of our nature, that don't exist in heaven, right? So we won't die in heaven, but we will all die here. We all will. We'll die to our physical bodies, for sure.
Yeah. So Mary can receive prayers from all over the world simultaneously. She dispenses grace. She's co-redemptrix. She's the queen of heaven. She's the object of veneration, worship, and practice. She's eternal intercessor without limitation. These are characteristics of God.
So these are, so you say.
Yeah,
but you and I both don't know this.
Yes, we do, because the Bible talks about various things of what God does. And the Catholic Church has now attributed many of those things to Mary. This is idolatry. You don't need Mary. You just need Jesus.
Oh, no. No, we don't need, we do need Jesus. You're right. Well, we need God above all for the salvation, the grace that God gives. And Jesus was the salvation of his sacrifice that sealed it for us. And no, we don't need Mary for her salvation. It doesn't hurt to have someone you can ask. You've always asked people on the phone here to pray for you for certain situations. And
I don't need to.
You have.
But
you have.
No,
before.
No. When I talk to my friend, when I talk to my friend next to me, I'm not contacting the dead, as Bible prohibits.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So Mary has died, in the sense that she's no longer here in this world. Now, given this, you know, I can argue too much with the ascension. Oh, we're almost out of time. We've got less than like a minute. We've got less than a minute now.
Why? It was a good conversation, though.
Yeah. I just looked at the clock.
We can talk about the dead. I can give you a call back maybe Friday.
Yeah.
I know you're slow on Friday. Are you slow
no.
on Friday?
This Friday, we're not on the air. It's Good Friday. So I'm off for Good Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. God bless. I hope you have a good Easter and Good Friday. Hope you're doing
you
something
too.
Great.
By God's grace, I'll be preaching the gospel. But thank you. All right. Sounds good.
All right, Matt. Take care.
Okay. All right. That's the kind of conversation I have. Now imagine five people jumping in and accusing me at the same time for 2 hours at a time. This is what I have to go through. But I'll tell you, one of the things that it does is it polishes my ability to present stuff accurately so that you guys listening and reading articles can then benefit. So by God's grace, amen and amen. Sorry, Peter from Texas, as it does matter how much faith we have. And Patrick, we can talk about that tomorrow. Everybody, we're out of time. There's the music. I'm out of here. May the Lord bless you by his grace. Back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.